the reason we would even consider aliens is because telepathy is common in aliens. That's
just, absolutely.
That's just how we do this. And the thing that comes along with telepathy is a very, very strong connection to a part of reality that normally is very subdued for us.
Welcome to the Deadly Departed podcast, where the veil between the living and the dead is just a whisper away. I'm Jock, and along with my colleagues in Paranormal Daily News, we will be your guides through the shadowy realms of the paranormal and the unexplained. In each episode, we will dive into the eerie and the enigmatic with the help of today's leading experts in parapsychology, science, and the supernatural. Prepare to uncover the secrets that lurk in the dark and explore the mysteries that defy explanation. Let's embark on this journey now. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jock here. This is Deadly Departed. I'm joined here with my very good friend, PDN science editor, Craig Weiler. And we have got just an interesting... We're not here to talk today about to teach you anything or to share any research or anything. We've got loads of that coming up. We've got a big series coming up in the telepathy tapes. We've got lots and lots of stuff coming up. We've got experts coming up. We've got Dr. Margie Woolacott coming on. We've got other experts coming on. So we're just going to have a little part two conversation. So you're getting a bit of insight into our discussions, essentially. So you're just going to listen. You're going to nose in. You're going to be a fly on the wall about something that we're not really have much expertise in, but find it interesting. And this kind of be the part two of hauntings, right? And we're bringing in this whole UFO, UAP phenomena. Now, as I say, myself, I'm not a massive expert in that field. I know a little bit of it. I've been interviewed about it in the past in terms of spiritualism and UFO and all that kind of stuff. But I have a theory. And I have a theory, and I was many years ago, I was at a conference where this was part of the discussion. Part of my theory was that some of the anomalous phenomena that we put down to hauntings, or even possessions for that matter, could essentially be alien phenomena, right? Or UFO phenomena. So that's what we're going to jump into, ladies and gentlemen. Craig, what do you think?
It's really hard to tell. Of course, you know, a lot of this stuff is what I call black box.
Yeah.
Which is, you have this phenomena, but the cause of it isn't physical. So there's no real easy way to go, that caused this. You can't see that really clearly with it. And so this is all in the mind, which is a really difficult place to sort that sort of cause and effect stuff out. So we're in the same position as the rest of the world. We are speculating, and it is as good as it's going to get.
Now, I find it interesting because if you watch something like Skinwalker Ranch or some of the, you know, Ancient Aliens and all these other pros, even, you know, the treasure hunting shows, there always seems to be an element of anomalous phenomena. Something happens. And immediately people think, you know, in these shows, they can put it down because they talk, well, maybe it's aliens or it's UFOs or UAPs, whatever else. But there's often people that have experiences. If anybody's read Chris Bledsoe's book, what was it? Alien of the Gods. I can't remember, actually. Alien of the Gods. It's a brilliant book. It's a phenomenal book.
Chariot of the Gods?
I don't know. I can't remember, actually. I've got it, and I've listened to it. It's brilliant. And obviously, he's experienced a lot of anomalous phenomena and continues to experience it. But there's other people out there that have claimed that they've been abducted. And I don't know if you've watched, there's an alien show, there's Harry the Alien, there's a show out there on, I don't know if it's Netflix or something, it's absolutely hilarious. But they've actually taken a lot of this phenomena of even a possessive state or an abduction or lights and various anomalies and things moving. And it kind of does replicate as what people would think would be a haunting. So you have to ask yourself, are potentially hauntings not, or the anomalous phenomena, could it be coming from UAPs, UFOs, or this alien agenda?
Well, first of all, the show's called Resident Alien.
That's it. See, I got terrible mind. So this, I'm just a fly in the wall, guys. Like, you're getting an insight. Like, where we just talk and can't remember anything.
Yeah, so...
that's hilarious, by have you seen it, Resident Alien?
Oh, yeah. But as soon as it comes out, boy, I'm right there.
It's amazing. It's brilliant.
I'm going to watch the whole thing.
I didn't want to watch it. Joe got absolutely hooked on it and was like, yeah, you got to go watch this. It's hilarious. And I'm like, nah, I'm just working away writing an article as I normally do or doing some research. And I kept on doing this over the computer. Right. And then laughing. And then I got into it and I was gone.
Well, I tried to get my wife interested, and she watched the first 5 minutes of the guy clowning around, and it's like, nope.
Exactly.
That was the end of that.
Honestly, it is hilarious. Now, see, a show like that, right, has got anomalous phenomena that happens. They've obviously did the research. And then, of course, you've got other shows like Skinwalker where there's anomalous phenomena that happens.
Yeah, so the thing about the reason we would even consider aliens is because, if you look in popular culture, telepathy is common in aliens. That's just,
absolutely.
That's just how we do this. And the thing that comes along with telepathy is a very, very strong connection to a part of reality that normally is very subdued for us. In other words, we have a lot of trouble piercing the veil, so to speak.
Yeah.
And we may be in contact with alien civilizations that don't have that problem. They easily contact that beyond the veil, as we'll call it. And so what looks to them to be normal is for us either a spiritual or a very anomalous experience. But for them, it's just that's how reality works. So we can end up with this situation where we attribute supernatural things to what's actually an alien presence and them just doing their thing.
And this is where it would even, you know, where is sometimes in hauntings, you would ask, you know, a psychological profiling of the individual and they having any dreams, are they having any particular feelings and things. And you see in some of these cases, in a lot of these abduction cases, there's an element of vivid dreaming. There's an element of even a precognitive dream. And again, that comes from what is claimed to be a telepathic connection from these beings. And if you look at something like Resident Alien, you see, you know, the woman there, she's go to sleep and then all of a sudden she's dreaming and she's kind of then evicted out of her body. You've got this whole OBE experience and all of this phenomena that we normally attribute to spiritual hauntings could actually just be this alien agenda.
Well, that's interesting. As you're talking, I'm remembering from the New Age movement a long time ago. This we're talking like 90s, so this is a very long time ago, but I remember having this discussion with some people that I thought was really interesting, which is that when you're in the presence of somebody who really is strongly telepathic, spiritual, what have you, you're going to pick up on it. There's going to be some bleed through, so that unless you're completely shut off to this sort of thing, their presence will help you experience it just for them being there. In other words, we're talking about a field effect. So just being within that field effect of having a connection with people who are super spiritual, suddenly that spiritual world is more clear to you. Now, this is something that people experienced during the New Age movement, was they'd have somebody come in that was, you know, very spiritual, and everybody suddenly became a bit more clear because they had a connection to that person. Now, imagine if that spirituality was dialed up to 11. And now you're in contact with somebody that's just way beyond what you normally encounter. Yeah, there's going to be some supernatural stuff going on, and you don't even have to see them. There just has to be a connection.
It's interesting because in the work I've done over the years in mediumship, even when we were teaching the connection, I've always taught, my wife has taught, we taught in our church that it was a mind-to-mind connection. We taught that it was a telepathic connection. And that telepathy, which is something that we're going to jump into a lot more from the telepathy tapes. We've got a whole big series coming up about that, but this is kind of, this is interesting because it's partly a haunting type experience as well. We always used to teach, or always used to explain to our students that the way that we communicate with spirit, the way that we communicate on the other side, or the way that it is a telepathic connection. It's a mind-to-mind connection is what we would say. And so a lot of this phenomena that you have from aliens or whatever you want to call them or label them, and intergalactic, I mean, I'm not really into this whole galactic, interstellar, planetary, the whole consciousness is getting run by alien agenda. I'm very academic. There has to be evidence. There has to be a pattern for it for me. But there is a lot of telepathy. There's a lot of examples and a lot of the phenomena that happens from dreams, dream states, from them even hearing voices, starting to communicate. And so here's the other thing. Are we pathologizing? Does psychology, does psychiatry pathologize something that we would see as a haunting or a mystical experience wrongly, when it could actually be a UFO type alien presence? You see, you hear a lot of these people that have seen UFOs, and there's been loads and loads of TV shows. I don't know if you, I mean, I can't remember some of the ones that I've watched recently, but TV shows where they will have an experience where they're viewing a particular UFO, and they hear things, or they feel like they get a connection. They feel like they're being downloaded information, and it kind of makes sense. And I think that's the same way. If you look at the TV show on Ancient Aliens, they've covered that so many different ways that maybe we're ignorant to the fact that the real way to communicate is through this mind-to-mind, this telepathic ability, and that we're like ancient civilization utilizing our vocal cords in our mouths, you know?
I have talked to people who claimed to have been, like one woman was describing, she was sitting back in a hot tub and had this, suddenly felt information just like coming from this alien presence that she had been in contact with, and she just felt like, this is being downloaded, I just need to relax.
So
people have had these experiences.
I'm still skeptical of that, though. Unless it has evidence for me, it's like, because anybody can sit back and say I'm getting downloaded information. I've met people who have claimed they've got downloaded information from aliens or from angels, and it don't add up. And there's no evidence to it, and anybody can say anything. And this is the problem that we have in parapsychology and science, is that we need something that we can measure. There has to be an element of experience, lived experience, looking at how someone experiences it. But there has to be, and this is where we're missing it out. And so even with this UFO phenomena, or even with these claims of downloads, or what's happening in a haunting situation, there needs to be some kind of evidence for me. Where so many people claim they're channeling, so, and this is another episode, just channeling and trance for me are two different things. And I can argue till the cows come home, because when you've seen real trance, and you see channeling, the channeling's just, it's not the same. And so I would say people that keep saying they got downloads, and this is another thing that drives me nuts, is they hear continual ringing in their ears. This might be a new age thing. And the ringing in their ears, saying they're getting spiritual downloads, and there's this wisdom coming through. And let's face it, it's tinnitus. Because I've got constant ringing in my ears, and it's freaking tinnitus, and I ain't getting any downloads from any aliens or angels or anything else. And when I hear spirit, I hear it completely differently. It's not a big whine. So there has to be, we have to try and get to the bottom of trying to get some kind of measured, being able to measure the experiences to be able to understand it better.
Well, from my standpoint, I'd have a slightly different take on that, in that I view these experiences from an anthropological point of view. which is to say that I neither try to confirm or deny them. I just kind of make a note. Okay, this is what they said. This is how this was for them. Okay, thank you. And I don't pass any judgment on it. That's just, it's an
experience. I'm terrible.
You're not going to, you're not going to be able to verify oftentimes.
I mean, I accept it. I don't turn around and say to them, like, that's crap. Or, you know, I don't believe that. But in my mind, it drives me nuts.
That's completely understandable. I just, for my part, I just, it's the area where I just kind of blank out and go, okay, they say they had that experience. Okay, that's fine. And then that's as far as it goes. I typically don't try to make anything of it because there's nothing done with it. You know, when you have this sort of situation, you go, eventually you get to the point where you say, what am I going to do with this? And the answer is nothing.
Nothing. Not a thing.
So there's no reason to pass judgment on it. There's no reason to think about it anymore. You just make a note of it and move on. Maybe somebody else will say the same thing. Maybe multiple people say that. If enough say it, maybe there's something to it.
Here's the thing. There are people then that do have experiences and they do get these downloads, but there is a pattern. There is something that's there. There seems to be a quality to it, or, you know, we say qualia to the experience. And there's probably warrants further investigation, because what they're experiencing, it's like a jigsaw pattern. It's starting to come together. And there's a story. It's like a storyboard. There's something there. And this is where I think that we need to kind of blend what we can measure and what we experience in some way of getting that type of thing. Because it's all very well and good as just taking it on board. And yes, we can take these experiences on board. But also I think there's a danger to it, because then it kind of leads people up a garden path and up the wrong sense of security, if you like, or misunderstanding things. I think there has to be an element where, and this is perhaps maybe where we build bridges between parapsychology and materialist science, which, you know, we've tried for years and is very difficult to do.
It is. And I think one of the problems of trying to get parapsychology in with the spiritual group is, first of all, anybody with an ego, that gets flattened. Parapsychology flattens everybody's egos.
Absolutely.
Because that, you know, parapsychology is where you actually have to have measurable results, and talk just won't do it. And, you know, in any sort of spiritual environment, there's a certain percentage of people who are ego driven.
Oh, massive. And, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a lot of them. Sometimes it's a few, depending on the group, but there are people who have massive egos, and they, once you start measuring things, they shut up.
You know, it's interesting, because I think as well is that we don't really, in parapsychology, we don't really look so much into UFO phenomena. There's not a great deal about it. We don't, you know, obviously we're measured, you know, there's the psi experiences, mystical experience that we take on board. But should there be an element of parapsychology that is focused primarily on anomalous phenomena from what is claimed a UFO experience? Because even a near-death experience, one could argue that that's even potentially controlled by some kind of UFO or UAP or whatever you have from it. So we don't really have a lot of that in parapsychology. There's not a great deal of it. And I think, do you think it's something that should be seriously taken on board?
Well, I mean, there is a bit of UAP work within parapsychology. It kind
of not a lot, though. Very little.
There was a parapsychology meeting that I attended where that was the focus of it. They brought in somebody who talked about their area with UAPs. But of course, with UAPs, you always run down to the, you know, we have this picture of this, we've got some video of that, but there's never the 100% everybody's absolutely sure of it smoking gun.
No, that's exactly.
That's part of the UAP process. And I think part of this is that if you're using telepathy, they're relatively easy to contact. I don't think anybody's ever had much trouble contacting an alien presence with telepathy. And, you know, I know people make a big deal about, oh, they're contacting me, but my opinion is that doesn't seem to be very unusual or difficult, that they probably always got somebody on the switchboard just waiting for somebody to contact them, and they say, hey, we're here.
I have in my mind's eye now, like, I'm seeing these two aliens in a spaceship, you know, talking in this alien language, going, yeah, there's one of them down there. They're trying to put a thought out. Let's tune in and see what they want, you know?
Yeah, I actually think that there's some of that going on.
I do as well. You put a signal out there.
Yeah, I mean,
have you ever seen a UAP or a UFO?
I have not, but if I reach out telepathically, they're there. They're just like waiting. It's like, hey, hello. I've come to the conclusion that, you know, they're there. How do I know it's an alien presence? It's really interesting, because with telepathy, one of the things about it is when you connect with another person, you get all of them. You get the whole person when you connect with somebody. You don't just get like a thought, like, here I am, let's talk about physics or something. You get all of their personality there, including all their fears and everything else. And so people, so within our area, within humans, we all have a certain type of makeup that always has a certain amount of fear running in the background. Everybody. We've all got fears going back and forth. You connect with one of them and that's gone. You get this presence that just feels to us like they're clear as a bell. There's none of the drama going on in the background. And that is a difference that's really, really visible when you connect that way. So this is something for me internally that I pick up. There's no way that I could share that with somebody or communicate it any other way, but that's how I personally know there's no fear there.
Have you had personal telepathic experiences yourself?
Yeah. Like I said, I don't think they're that unusual or difficult.
I know from me and Joe, we've had loads of telepathic experiences, and I think every medium, if they're worth, you know, their salt, is that's how they're communicating, essentially, is telepathically.
Yeah. It's nothing special.
No.
You know, we've got these kids from the telepathy project that are telepathy tapes that are just off the charts. But the actual telepathy itself, that's not that unusual. Their ability to manage it clearly is unusual. But the fact that it exists, it's out there all the time. We're always picking up and sending thoughts constantly. We're like these huge receivers and senders all the time, so it's not that unusual.
You know, that's and that's the thing where, in terms of any particular hauntings or any of these anomalous experiences, perhaps there is an answer to be found in telepathy to the anomalous experiences that happens, because there seems to be a great deal of that. And it goes way beyond the Zener cards and goes way beyond kind of your telepathic games and things like that. I think it's there's a lot more to it. And it's interesting with Rupert Sheldrake's experiences, with his research into it. I mean, we're kind of jumping off of what we were, you know, obviously the haunting side of things, but it is so interesting that what we think is unusual is fairly normal, and a lot of hauntings or a lot of anomalous phenomena could be put down to alien agenda, alien communication. And also it makes you think that even in our communications in our dream states could be telepathically linked. Some of these, and we're going to do a big series on the telepathy tapes. We've got lots of different discussions that we're going to have on there. But I don't think we're too far away from. I think there's an important scientific intro. Actually, thinking about it, there's actually a big scientific blunder, really, when it comes to it, because we've argued for years and years about telepathy and different anomalous experiences, yet it's really our natural, it's really our natural form. It's our natural way of being.
Yeah, it is. And you know, when they do, when we do testing on that, of course, what this comes out as is that it, the psychics and the skeptics, I'm sorry, the believers and the skeptics are all psychic. They just manifest it in different ways. That you've got the people who are psychic hitting their targets, and you've got the skeptics missing them. And you can plot this on a graph, which looks nothing like random noise, because you've got one group.
Well, skeptics are a lot of random noise.
Well, the skeptics are a lot of random noise. Yeah, yeah, I can't argue with that. But you've got these people hitting, you know, hitting their targets, and you've got the hitting their targets to a significant degree, and you've got skeptics missing their targets to a significant degree. So everybody's psychic there. Everybody's, it's just they're putting it out differently, and to a certain extent, they're canceling each other out, which suggests that there's a, you know, there's a greater system going on there, rather than just people in general, you know, rather just individuals. We're actually forming larger groups. And when it comes to stuff like hauntings and whatnot, the larger group can actually be directing, have certain members of it who are better at connecting to hauntings, which may be a survival thing. Who knows?
In what way? What do you mean? Explain that in terms of the haunting.
So if you have people that form groups, let's say a tribe, that tribe will generally have a whole bunch of different personalities within the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to another tribe, they'll also have a whole bunch of different personalities, and they'll all kind of come out to the same types of groupings, where you've got people, you don't end up with a tribe where everybody's good at one thing. You end up with a tribe where people kind of spread out and have different personalities and different skills and different, different ways of thinking. And the combination of those makes a good tribe. One that's more likely to be successful. So just at the fringe of the tribe, about 1 or 2% of the people will be able to sense hauntings and dark places and whatnot, and guide them away from them.
Oh yeah, I think everybody. Well, I've always said everybody has a sensitivity.
Yeah, but
and some people have it more. It's like some people can play chopsticks on the piano, but another person can play Bach's symphony.
Yeah, what I'm asking here is to look at this as a tribe, that not everybody needs to be sensitive in a tribe. You just need a few people who are sensitive, and everybody else needs to believe them.
The problem is, though, is they don't. And this is and it's interesting, because, and I don't want to jump on, because we've got, as I said, we've got a big series on it, but in part of that, the telepathy tapes, they talk about a prerequisite is the belief in them. And the belief in these kids, because it allows it, you know, and have it. And that's true. I mean, really, even if you're developing mediumship, developing psychic ability, there's an element where you have to know you can do it and be unequivocal with it. Instead, the minute you question it, kind of deteriorates the potential hit rate or the your ability, because you can, it's like imposter syndrome. You can have a skill, but then you falter a little bit. I've been there myself, you know, where I've, you know, I've had a really good day, you know, if I'm sitting down, and if I'm doing it, sitting with someone, and I feel strong in belief and knowing and everything else, and it's, you know, and everything works fine. But there's these times where if you falter a little bit, you have a little bit of question, or you don't believe in yourself, or you're having a bad day, then it detracts from it. So I get what you're saying, and a lot of these, you know, this is what you need this in the tribe. But if you've got people in there that are not believing in them, then obviously it's going to affect them. And this is an important aspect of it, is where does belief and knowing come in to any type of phenomena?
Well, it's a good question. And I think, you know, I'm going to beat this tribe thing to death here. So we used to live in smaller tribes of about 150.
Hey, we have a PDN tribe, people. Right?
When you have an environment like that where everybody's grown up together, then yeah, you have time. Everybody has a chance to learn how to trust everybody else.
Yeah.
And including the people with the psychic skills, which, as I said, they're about 1 or 2% of any given tribe. You'll have these spiritual people. And so the tribe itself supports them from negativity so that they can get their work done. And so when we're having modern society, we don't have that anymore.
Do you know, actually, where we've had... If anybody's read my first book, Powers of the Sixth Sense, I actually talk about this a little bit, because we talk about intuition and psychic ability and how, you know, 9/11 people pick things up, you know. But what I found, there was many different, because I'm ex-military, as you can see, here's my unit. There's a lot of, and it's interesting you talk about a tribe, right? Because in the military, in your barracks or in your unit, it is like a tribe. It's like a tribe, and the people have different experiences. People have different skills and everything else. But interestingly, there's a lot of examples of soldiers in battle that almost pick up telepathic messages and telepathic knowings. I spoke once to a sergeant major who was in a war zone in Iraq, and he heard a voice, so a telepathic connection that told him not to go down that, and if he'd have went down that route, he was going to get ambushed, and it was all hell would break loose. Same as people I've talked to, you know, operators in Northern Ireland and in Kosovo and places like that, where they're not necessarily claiming that they're psychic or anything else, but in the heat of that battle, there's that tribal where people are trusting. I don't know what it is, but they kind of believe in that leadership, or they believe in them. The unit is so tight. It's like you're saying, it's tribal. And there seems to be a heightened ability that they can pick up telepathic information that's potentially saving their life. And that's essentially what my first book kind of was about, Powers of the Sixth Sense. I'm trying to sell my book on PDN or anything, but, you know, Craig and I have both written books.
We keep talking over each other. That has all the elements of what you need for a psychic experience, which is heightened emotion and
absolutely
a great need. Need is important for psychic ability to pop through, particularly, you know, we have all our filters in place normally where we're suppressing it so that we can get along with our lives. But when it needs to come through, need is an important aspect of it. When you need it, not just when you want it, but when you need it badly, it tends to be there for you.
But then there's people that don't need it, but can switch it on.
Yeah. But for most people, most of the time,
yeah,
that's how you get the volume. That's how you get the gain on psychic ability and get it past the filters is need.
You know, it's interesting as well, because I also think what is needed to develop it is silence. And that was never, and I've said this for years, and that has never been truer since obviously listening to Kai talking in the telepathy tapes, where was it John Paul? Was it one of the kids had to go into silent, they had to put the pillows and everything over the head and have total silence. I remember turning around to Joe and says, this is what we need to have telepathic connection with loved ones. This is what we need to heighten psychic ability. We need silence. And it's interesting, because in the Gansfield experiences, right, it's not necessarily silence, because they play that, you know, they play white noise, or they have that what do you call it, the frequency that goes over. But essentially, it is sensory deprivation. And so, and this is what we've always said, is that in developing mediumship, development of psychic ability, there has to be an element where you go into the silence, and that's where the power exists.
Yeah. And this as I brought up in a previous article, that you need to quiet certain parts of your brain, most of them on the left side, for that part of your brain to get working, you need to be shutting off other parts. So from brain scans, what they get is that psychic ability is not lighting up the whole brain. It's specific portions have to be lit and other portions have to dampen down. And when you get the right mix there, then you get relatively strong psychic ability.
Do you think, I know there's been examples of this, going back to the whole idea of hauntings and potential UFO and anomalous phenomena from UFO, do you think that someone who's experienced a potential UFO contact or abduction or comes back with their heightened abilities?
It's entirely plausible. And the reason is because if you're in the presence of somebody who is forcing your brain to do things differently, in other words, you're basically learning something new, and you're having this experience and that you can't turn off, that your filters aren't working, and you get past the point where you're fighting it, which I think is what happens with these experiences. You get past the point where you're fighting against it and you begin to accept it, then your brain has basically wired itself to be able to do this now. It knows what the pattern is in your mind, in the brain itself, the gray matter, that it's learned the pattern of how to do this. And so once it ends, if, for example, let's say it's like riding a bike. Well, once you get done with the experience, now you know how to ride the bike.
Mm.
That kind of thing.
See, I look at it a little bit differently where...
Okay.
I don't reckon it comes from the brain. And a lot of neuroscientists, and they're going to freaking hit me for this. But I believe the brain is an expression of the mind. It is a receiver. And so I believe that our mind has the psychological building blocks of a reality. From formlessness, we come form. And so our connection, our power, our psychic capacity exists there. And that from that, the brain is then the receiver. I don't think, I could be wrong, but I feel that really our innate power comes from our mind, which is why in telepathy we have mind-to-mind connection. Because there's been examples as well, and where there hasn't been a brain yet, communication has existed and phenomena or experience has existed from this. So I kind of am more drawn towards it's the mind and then the brain becomes the receiver. It's an expression of that. And so I don't believe our psychic ability exists in the brain. I think it is allowed. It's just an expression.
So I would agree with that. But
no shit. I thought you were going to come back to me.
No, I agree. But the brain is a receiver, but you have to tune the receiver.
Yeah, you do. But I still believe that the mind is the tuning forks.
So you have the mind that's coming through the brain. The brain is the filter. You have to tune
the filter. Yeah, it's filter and it's receiving. It's filter. But I think, you know, and that's right. Where it's
there's some tuning that has to happen. You have to get to
but the here's the thing. Let's say I'm communicating. I'm giving a reading for someone, right? I'm giving a sitting for someone, and I'm starting. And this is interesting, right? And I start to communicate. I believe that I'm having that mind-to-mind telepathic connection, whereas it's not essentially my brain. My brain might get in the way and be the filter that then, if I connect into that, I may distort a message. So I need to be able to discern, and I may have a bypass. I need to bypass it or that way because I essentially think about it. I don't want the brain to get involved because I want to have clear, clean, and concise communication from the mind-to-mind connection. So I see the brain as a sieve that can be problematical.
Okay, but remember, when you're doing this and you're trying to get in the right frame of mind, you have specific neural connections that are happening in order for this tuning to work properly, which means you have to...
So what about the people that don't have the brain and can tune in? Look at Ian Gilchrist's research, Dr. Ian Gilchrist.
So...
And then split brain phenomena.
I don't know what happens with edge cases, but most of us have brains.
Is it apart from skeptics? No, I'm only joking. We don't put them down too much, but you know, yeah. So have you ever ate brains? Now we're digressing.
Okay. There are definitely edge cases where something different is going on.
Yeah.
Because the mind is more than the brain. However, for most of us, most of the time, we have to use we have to use regular brain, which means we have to wire it properly in order for these experiences to occur.
Yeah, I get it, and I accept it to a point. But I'm still erring towards this whole aspect of the mind. But again, that's the exciting thing, because for me as well, it's that big question: from formlessness, we became form, and so from nothing, we became something. And yet I know that then the communications that we have on the other side, be it alien communication, be it spirit communication, be it activity within a haunting experience that comes from there, there is no brain involved, right? And intelligent communications comes from where there's no brain. And yes, I can see that we have a brain and we filter. This is going, we're getting, we could be on here for hours. Going down this is what happens, ladies and gentlemen. Craig and I get into it. We have an idea, and then we're on to all different things and subject matter. So God knows what we're going to title this episode. Rabbit hole. This is the PDN rabbit hole, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's about right.
It is. It's phenomenal. But, you know, It is. I find it fascinating, and I still have that. I remember, you know, when I was doing my, I'm in final dissertation year in my master's, but when we get to the cognitive neuroscience and all that kind of stuff, I fought against this whole idea of everything coming from the brain. It was so hard for me from these experiences, because people that have near-death experiences that have died, and necessarily the brain is not activating, yet there's evidence, there's a trail, there's phenomena, there's experience.
Yeah.
So this is where I think we need phenomenological and epistemological. We need to blend everything in parapsychology and bring an element of transpersonal parapsychology together, because there's so much we don't understand about the brain and the mind. I still obviously believe the mind is an expression. The brain is an expression of the mind, sorry.
Well, I mean, I would certainly agree with that. All the evidence points to consciousness being the fundamental thing that drives the universe, not the material world. In other words, the universe is more like a giant thought, less like a giant machine. If you're using that model, then the brain is a filter.
Yeah.
And so but it is not the creator of consciousness. So
no.
A TV, for example, is not the creator of the picture on the screen. All it's doing is it's filtering signals.
Filtering a signal. Same within the military with the radio waves and things like that. We're filtering a signal.
Yeah. So you have to tune the TV. The TV has to function properly for you to be able to interpret the signal, but it's not the creator of the signal. And, you know, as soon as we leave the bodies with, you know, near-death experiences and whatnot, we experience reality completely differently.
Yeah, I had a near-death experience. The reality was completely, it's very strange.
Yeah.
And that's another conversation. Well, listen, guys, we've come up, we're, you know, 45 minutes, up to nearly an hour. So we started off on Hauntings Part 2. God knows what we're going to, you know, talk about this, but we've got so much joy. Craig and I enjoy having these conversations. So you're having a fly in the wall look at how sometimes we go from one end of the road to the other, which can be very entertaining. But I'm going to finish off with this, because I think maybe we can share a little story. Have you ever seen objectively a ghost?
Have I?
Yeah.
No, I have not. Something about me just, it's not, I'm not one of the haunted people as referred to in the book Ghosted. That's not me. I'm on Planet Practical. The world doesn't seem to be all that strange for me.
I have. And so did my wife. And I'll tell a little story. It was really weird. We were at a friend's house in just outside Inverness. We used to live in a place called Abreachen, and we were going down for dinner, and Cheryl and Ian's house. And Joe and I went there for dinner one evening. We were coming back, and you can just imagine this. We're in the Scottish Highlands, and it's misty, and it's dark, and there's moonlight coming through. And Joe and I were driving down the road. I was driving the car at the time, and all of a sudden, I see this figure, and Joe sees at the same time, steps out. I hit the brakes, and it's gone. Totally. The interesting thing was that there had been a car accident. We found this later on when we investigated that actually been a car. There had been a death on that road, and so what we explained as a ghost or we saw it objectively, both of us at the exact same time. She saw it, I saw it, slammed on the brakes. There was nothing there.
Wow.
Yes. We shall leave you with that story, ladies and gentlemen. And if you've got any stories that you want to share with us on Deadly Departed, maybe Craig and I will get you on for a discussion, because we're easy. If you've had a ghost story and you want to tell us, we're not going to get you on and go run the whole parapsychology. We're just going to listen to your story. That would be interesting. But of course, if you've got any questions for us on telepathy, anything else, as I say, Craig and I we've got loads of stuff coming up from the telepathy tapes. We're going to have do a whole series on the telepathy tapes, which we're really excited about, and then we'll have some people that have been involved in it on our show as well. We'll be chatting to them. Craig's working on some articles and things at the moment. I'm also going to be working on a few things. But also, we're not experts in UFO stuff, right? Craig and I are the first people to hold our hands up. We don't, you know. So if any of you out there are experts and, you know, you've written books, or you would maybe like to join us in PDN and become our UFO UAP expert, then we would love to talk to you and have you on board with us, because we can only talk about it from our experiences, from what we know, which is very little, and we would certainly love to have you guys on board. And just remember as well, guys, you can come and join us in our very private community. Some great, very highly respected parapsychologists and experts on there for conversations. We've got some masterclasses that are coming up very soon as well. Lots of things happening as PDN develops, as our journal develops, as PDN books comes out. We'd love to get you all involved. So, Craig, this was somewhat interesting. We went from one experience to another. Started off in UFOs, went through telepathy, and ended up on a ghost story.
That works for me.
So, guys, join us again, Craig and I. We've got some other, you know, if you've listened to this and you haven't listened to Craig and I on other episodes, then please go and do that. Also catch up on the episode that I just did with Matt Colburn. Great, we did it. There's a three-parter about the work and stuff. Matt Colburn, someone that I studied with as well at university. Phenomenal book, great book. And we've got lots of people coming up. Also, we have one announcement, and this is something Craig and I have been worked on for quite a while. Dr. Barry Taff, who is a world-renowned was a leading parapsychologist, was well known back in the day. We have finally, Craig and I have signed, as well as Lloyd Auerbach, we have got an agreement with Dr. Barry Taff. We will be keeping in Paranormal Daily News, we will be keeping his legacy running. We will be publishing all of his stuff from the past in Paranormal Daily News. So there is lots and lots and lots of research. There's lots of stories. He was involved in the Entity case. There's so much involved that we will be keeping that legacy alive, and also republishing his books within PDN.
Yeah, should be exciting.
Well, that's been something we have been working on for a while, actually, and we're glad to have Barry involved with us in PDN as well. So anything else you want to add, Craig, to we're finishing off?
It's interesting. Barry apparently kept really good notes during his time. So what he was basically a poltergeist investigator in the greater Los Angeles area for decades. And so he ended up finding some of them and kept very good notes on them and has many stories from that. So that'll be very interesting to go through his notes. They at one point looked like they were completely lost. I'm happy to hear that he's in possession of them.
And we shall be getting these published and indexed and out there and for everybody to enjoy. So thank you, guys, once again. Join us, paranormaldailynews.com. Also, the website for Deadly Departed is deadlydeparted.co. And you can join us on in our community. Craig and I are there as much as we possibly can. And paranews.network, you can get us on there. So, guys, stay safe. If you've got any questions, if there's anything you want us to talk about, if you've got any queries or you think we should hear out what you have to say, then let us know. God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.